Hi everyone, welcome back to Idol Talk, where we explore South Korean pop culture one obsession at a time. My name is Nathan and I'm your host.
Hi everyone, I'm Ashley and I am excited for NCT Wish's debut in February. NCT Wish, aka formerly known as NCT New Group, formerly known as NCT Tokyo.
It's still going to be Japanese focused, right? It looks like a lot of the members are Japanese, yeah.
Yeah, this is the group that was formed from the NCT reality show and the one that Sungchan and Shicharo were supposed to be in. So I'm interested to see how it turns out.
The time is near. Finally. Yes. All right. Hello, Gabe.
Hello, everybody. It's Gabe. I recently finished Singles Inferno Season 3. And by finished, I mean only sort. So I watched the last episode and a couple episodes in the middle, which I feel was enough. But I later discovered that one of the pairs at the end, they don't even follow each other on Instagram right now. So the whole thing is like a farce, basically.
Yeah, I was confused about it because I saw a headline yesterday and then it said, oh, person one and person two are rumored to be dating after the show. I was like, they chose each other. Aren't they supposed to be dating after the show? I'm so confused. Why is this a headline?
That happened in Singles Inferno 2. The couple that left together. Recently, I was looking them up on Instagram and there's no photos of them together. So it's like, are they still even dating?
Yeah. Does this show mean anything to them in the long term? Or is it?
I know. Anyways. And they take it so seriously. Okay. Anyway.
Tangent, okay. Well, we'll review that in a future episode. So thanks, Gabe, for that idea. Okay, so today we are back with another episode. It's a continuation episode of our two-part series on the big K-pop companies. In episode 141, we highlighted what was to be traditionally the big three at the time, or today, which is SM, JYP, and YG. And as of late, there has been some discussion of an expansion of the big three to be the big four, which includes HYBE Corporation. So we're going to devote a little mini episode just discussing some of the history behind how HYBE came to be, formerly Big Hit, right, et cetera, et cetera. And Ashley's going to go over that. And then we'll move into what some of the company is doing today with some of their boy groups and girl groups. So Ashley, did you want to kick us off with some background?
Yes. So HYBE Corporation is formerly known as Big Hit Entertainment. That is the company name when they started. It was founded in 2005 by Bang Si-hyuk, Bang PD, aka Bang PD. Between the years 2005 and 2013, nothing was really going on there. So they had some ventures in music production, in some small group formations. They even had a joint partnership with JYP where they were helping manage the group 2AM. That was the first really big thing that was going on with them. Like I said, nothing was really going on for the first 8 years of its company until they debuted BTS in 2013. And BTS had, obviously, we know, a slow start. But once they really got rolling, we know how the story continue. They're a global hit now. So they launched BTS in 2013. They saw success with a lot of their, pretty much most of their albums, including Wings, the Love Yourself trilogy, Map of the Soul. Because of that success, they were able to expand their company a lot. In 2018, they start expanding their roster. They join with CJ E&M to create a subsidiary called B-Lift Labs, which they later worked on the Island survival show on. In 2019, they debut their second boy group at Big Hit Entertainment. 2019, they acquire Source Music. They acquire a big video game firm called Superb. 2020, they become a majority shareholder in Pledis. They acquire KOZ Entertainment. 2021 was a really big year for them where they acquire a big stake, YG Plus, which is YG's merchandising and like distribution arm, which basically ends with YG artists getting on Weverse. And then Naver in 2021, they acquire a majority stake in Weverse. And that is the end of, with that acquisition, they end VLive and move their live streaming platform over to Weverse. And so RIP
And now VLive.
VLive
doesn't even exist anymore.
I know, because it's all Weverse.
They completely
now.
Decimated the previous VLive.
Right. Then in 2021, they did a partnership with Universal Music Group, which was their really big venture into the United States market. They see a collaboration with Geffen Record. United Music Group artists are on Weverse now. And then they all, this is 2020 was a really big year for Hive. This is really expand. 2021 was also when they rebranded to the name Hive from Big Hit Entertainment. Big Hit Entertainment then becomes like a sub label under Hive. They partner with a Japanese streaming platform called Showroom. They partner with a Korean fintech company on an NFT business. They collaborate. They establish Adore label, Adore labels. They have a collaboration on Webtoons, which is they want to expand their IP to comics and stories for their artists. And they signed a deal with Disney. 2023, they purchased a majority stake in SM, which they later sold half of it to Kakao. So they still own 8% of SM Entertainment. And yeah, all this to say, between the years of 2018 and present, Hive really expands through joint partnerships with other companies, acquisitions of different labels, and acquisitions of even different types of companies. So they really diversify their interests in music, video game, like video streaming. They're in all different aspects of entertainment now. And I think what sets Hive apart from the traditional big three is that they didn't grow in the same way as YG, JYP, and SM. They really grew inorganically. Instead of building up their roster of artists debuted through the main label, they acquired different labels, and that's how they grew their music roster. So,
growth by acquisition.
Growth by acquisition, correct.
And the reforming last thing those groups that were part of those smaller companies.
Right. And last thing I'll say is that Hive is a publicly traded company, and so they have about 1,000 plus employees in Korea.
That's a lot.
Yep, it is a lot.
Something else that I think that stands out about Hive for me is their international presence these days. I think that they are on top in terms of international fandom or
right.
international appeal, which is not solely, but largely in part due to the success and global phenomena that BTS is. So that brings us to the current roster of boy groups that they have. So as Ashley mentioned, HYBE, formerly known as Big Hit, has three core boy groups. So ones that they didn't necessarily, they created from scratch and they didn't necessarily acquire just from other companies. So those are, of course, BTS, which we don't really need to say anything more about BTS at this point. They're currently in the army and had a lot of success up until this point. But they have two remaining currently, which are TXT and ENHYPEN. TXT, from like what I recall, was, when did they debut again? Was it 4 or 5 years ago at this point?
2019.
2019. Okay. So actually more probably hitting their four going on five, right? So like I remember, I feel like they really started their big company appeal when TXT came out. Because I think what defines large companies and successful companies is that younger groups can start developing their careers off of the success of their seniors. And I remember when TXT was debuting, they automatically went on a fan meet tour. Like what was like a little mini concert meet and greet that they did. I'm
Ah.
like, who's going to go to this thing because no one even knows them? I'm so confused. Like they came out with like one or two songs and then they started going a little mini tour around the same time that BTS was doing their Love Yourself tour,
Right.
right? Or was it the Love Yourself tour? It was the 2019 tour right before the
Yeah.
pandemic.
Love
So,
yourself.
Love Yourself tour. So, TXT did really well. They had come out with Crown and Cat Dog and their youthful album, and then they went out. And then after that came in Hyphen, which famously came out of the reality audition show, survival show. So those are the main groups that HYBE has created from scratch. I'm interested to hear what the group thinks about the trajectory of these groups. Obviously, TXT and N-Hyphen are very, 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 very successful. A question that I have is, I don't think the right question, are they going to walk in the footsteps or become as big as BTS? I don't know if that's the right question to ask, because I think at this point, even for the company, BTS is such an outlier. But I'm wondering if what is next for I'm still I have questions about that. TXT really hit their stride in year one. Like, and Hyphen really hit their stride also in year one. And it left them to do a lot, but I want like I'm not actually sure. They have really good songs, but that one big hit, I think we still have yet to see that. So I'm curious as to what the group thinks about that. Do you want to answer that
Yeah.
now or later?
Yeah, I can answer it now.
Okay.
So I think that TXT and N-Hyphen, they did really well upon their debut in Korea, and it seems as though they are now reaching, well, TXT now is reaching out towards Western markets. They had their, I think it was a headline or some sort of a headlining thing
Okay,
at
Lollapalooza. Yeah,
Lollapalooza.
they were at
Right.
Lollapalooza.
They
Okay.
did an all English single with a Latin artist. And so in the same way as BTS, I think they're going to start making like their way over to the United States doing like English promotions that I don't know their current standing in Korea, but they still do produce a lot of majority Korean music, you know? They weren't in any of the conversations for Group of the Year, like Daesung's at the award shows. So, I mean, I would say that they're like an established group that is worthy of that, but I just don't know why they weren't in the running for those awards over there. In Hyphen, they had a global tour last year, and it seems as though they're doing primarily Korean releases. They do have Nikki, who is a Japanese member, and they could expand to Japan more. So it's a logical next step for them rather than going over to the Western audience.
Yes. Gabe, do you have any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the boy groups, they are successful in their own right, but I don't know if they will ever reach the heights that BTS got to, where they single-handedly support the entire company, you know? And I don't think that's what they're meant to do either. Like, I don't think the company intended for them to be the single revenue source for the company. I
Right.
think they plan a diverse,
Slate. Yeah.
slate of things that they could get revenues from, and then these boy groups are just kind of a piece of that. And it's a different model than what they had before, where it was basically the only game was BTS. Everything hinged on their success. So,
Right.
yeah.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because I know that in previous episodes we kind of watched the growth of HYBE happen before our eyes, and we pre I bet the reason why they went the acquisition route rather than growing their own artist is because BTS was leaving for the military. They tried to push it off as far as possible, and once they finally had to go, they had something set up to where their stand without BTS's income. That just clicked for me in my head. I didn't. A part of me was thinking, why didn't they debut their own groups? But now I'm realizing they probably didn't have time.
Okay, so that brings us to the other groups that they do have. So I think the other groups are broken down into two subsections. One is the Pledis acquisition, and the second is the Zico acquisition. Zico, right, Ashley?
KOZ.
Okay. Mm-hmm. KOZ, yes. Sometimes I mixed up with Kong Daniel for some reason. So Zico. KOZ. So
yeah.
KOZ's team is very small. Well, I guess these other are really small in general, but they have two boy groups in addition to Zico as a solo artist. I don't know. Zico hasn't done too much since coming back from the military. I just looked it up. It said that he returned in 2022. You know, I expect something from him probably within this year, I would think. Although he's still probably making a whole bunch of money from his viral start of TikTok challenge.
Yeah.
So he's probably still making all this money, and, you know, he doesn't need to release a single thing in his entire life. But KOZ has a Japanese team under HYBE called AND Team, who were formed through a reality survival program and audition. And then they also have Boy Next Door, who were in the discussion for Rookie of the Year. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah, so Boy Next Door is a Zico KOZ HYBE related activity. So I think that they're still really rookie, but it was a group that HYBE helped out with, definitely. So I think we should expect to see a lot more from them in the upcoming year. Apart from the KOZ team, they have a large subsection of the Pledis artists. And I will say that I've seen a lot of interaction between Pledis artists and HYBE artists. And in some of the interviews that I've seen from 17 members, they did seem really happy about the acquisition. Like, they seem really happy to be under HYBE Corporation.
Yeah, because they get more money now.
Yeah, lots of, like, 17. Again, 17 are Pledis boys, first of all. Like, they really started from nothing. But with that being said, they're really shooting off now. They're really popping off. So again, okay, so 17. But they also have Newest. So actually what's interesting on the website is that they're not named Newest, but they have the solo artist sectioned off, and all of them are Newest members. So I would say that they have some of the Newest members. And then recently, actually as of today or this month, Pledis debuted their first boy group in 9 years. So I'm assuming that HYBE definitely helped out with this. Their group is called TWS, and it's a boy group. They came out with, like, a pre-release called Oh My My Sevens 2 weeks ago. And then today they released their debut song called, well, there's only a Korean title, but the translation of the Korean song is "The first meeting didn't go as planned." Like, something didn't go as planned.
What is the concept? Is it like cute little boy?
Or... Yeah, it's cute, kind of young, like, school outfits,
okay,
dorm-related music video that I saw.
Yes,
and they also released a mini album with it, and it's called "Sparkling Blue." So it's very, like, youthful music and vibe. When I listened to it, it really reminded me of Crown Cat Dog, which is why I mentioned it earlier, because it felt very similar. So they just released their comeback, or their debut stage, today on the 22nd of when we're recording. So that's really exciting. And again, they haven't released a Pledis boy group in 9 years, which is a really, really, really long time. So I think that even within these subsidiaries. They are preparing for not only a post-BTS world, but they're preparing for a post-Military 17 world, which is coming up very, very soon. There's so many of them in 17, so they're probably not going to go off all at once, but they definitely need some generational replacement in there. Again, not all of them are also Korean, but they definitely still need more things going on there. And
right.
As 17 matures, right, they're going to leave some room too for younger groups to kind of step up to the plate here. So yeah, that's the boy slate, the boy group slate for HYBE. Yeah.
I didn't realize how many boy groups were over there.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's three boy groups, and then there are a lot of new ones along with 17. So BTS, basically 17, they are kind of control a lot of the K-pop clout right now, even with BTS's absence. So I mean, HYBE is definitely doing something right in this regard. Gable, I'll turn to you for some girl group highlights.
Yeah, I didn't realize like how many boy groups they had, because when I was looking at all the girl groups, I was like, this is kind of not a lot. Basically, for girl groups, I like the original Big Hit doesn't have a girl group.
Right.
It's all under subsidiaries or other companies or subdivisions formed under HYBE. So, the first one that comes to mind is GFRIEND, which was famously or infamously acquired as a part of HYBE through the Source Music merger. So they were merged in July 2019. GFRIEND at that time was literally the only girl group in the entire kind of HYBE universe. I remember seeing
for like a year.
Yeah, like for a year. Like I remember seeing pictures of like they do like HYBE family photo or whatever, and it'd be like all boys, and then like six GFRIEND members just like peppered throughout the thing.
Do they still do the HYBE family photo?
I don't know.
I remember seeing that HYBE family photo, but
it was
now
like only one Christmas one, I think, and then I think they stopped doing it. I haven't seen it for a while. There's not one on the artist list on their website.
That's sad.
On the list of artists, there's nothing. Yeah. Anyways, okay, GFRIEND.
Anyway, so yeah, GFRIEND, they're the first HYBE girl group by kind of merger slash acquisition. And
let's
then
name that, everyone. Let's name it the first girl group at HYBE, okay?
Yes. And then they are famously disbanded very suddenly the next year in 2020 after their Mago release.
Mm-hmm.
And then under Source Music, we get a new group that debuts in May of 2022. So this is like 2 years after, and that is Le Sserafim.
Mm-hmm.
And as you all know, Le Sserafim needs no introduction. They're million album seller group. They're well established.
Half of them are from IZ*ONE.
Yeah, they have clout going in, big digitals. They have the whole package, right? And then in that same year in 2022, they have NewJeans debut as well, under Adore, which is a like company formed under HYBE specifically. I think, I don't know if it was specifically for NewJeans, but shortly after they formed the new company, NewJeans debuted under that new company.
Seems like they did it specifically for NewJeans.
Yeah. And then I was reading up on kind of NewJeans, because like they don't need any introduction either. They are like one of the biggest pop groups in the world. Billboard's that they're, quote, one of the most influential groups in pop. And their latest comeback had 2 million plus album sales. And they're just popping off on the digitals. Pretty much every single release they have is going to top 10 or number one or something like that. And so that brings us to our third girl group who many might forget about, and that is Fromis 9. And they were originally under Pledis, and so they became part of HYBE after the Pledis merge happened. And that was in October of 2020. And so before the merge, I was looking at some of the stats. Promise 9 was like kind of your typical like new girl group. They had like maybe like 20 to like 40,000 album sales every comeback. You know, they were kind of just like maybe breaking even, if that. I don't know. But they're basically, you know, kind of not doing so hot. And then post merge, the two comebacks that they did have after that, like the album releases they had, I think they almost tripled or quadrupled their album sales.
Wow.
Post merge comebacks. So I'm not sure if that's due to like HYBE having an effect. You know, maybe their marketing is better. Maybe they just have better reach and they have better, you know, they have like better professionals, like people working behind the scenes. Or maybe it's just like there's a company effect. Or maybe there's like a change in the sound that they had that really resonated with people more than what they were doing before. So it could be any one of those things. But basically, after the merger, they are, you know, selling upwards of 200K albums. And they're, you know, they're not doing as well as LeSseraphim or NewJeans, but, you know, they're doing a lot better than they were before the merge.
I mean, they had like a major a full album come out, which is a lot for a girl group.
Like a full-length studio album. So all in all, those are the four girl groups that kind of I was able to come across. One of them is no longer with us.
R.I.P.
And then only one of them
Emma.
is really formed kind of like in-house under HYBE, and that would be NewJeans. And then I was also looking at kind of future girl groups, and it looks like Pledis is going to debut a girl group coming up.
This
Details are
year?
still yet. No, I don't know about this year, but it's in the works and it's in the plan to like have a new Pledis girl group at some point.
And there is going to be that island
Girl version.
girl version. I don't know what year, but that's in the works as well.
So even though they don't have a lot of girl groups, I think there's still they recognize that there is a role for them. And I think the success of NewJeans and LeSseraphim definitely planted the seed in their brains that, you know, this is something that we can make work. Because, you know, usually girl groups are not the most profitable, like unless they are like the top of the game, you know. So
Yeah, that's interesting. All of these groups that we named, because as it stands, there's like three girl groups at HYBE and what, like six or seven boy groups, probably double the amount of girl groups. And it's kind of also what's happening in the market right now. Like, there's an explosion of boy groups and none of them are hitting, but like the girl groups that are
they're hitting.
existing are hitting.
They're hitting really, they're batting really well.
Yeah, maybe they're just trying to debut a bunch of boy groups to see what will like resonate with fans, because there's nothing like, why are they spreading themselves so thin over with boy groups over there?
Whoever's going to keep this company alive. Or it's not okay. So the company is very successful. What's going to make the company thrive and what HYBE for me has really become is a girl group thriving company. But what's interesting is that some of them are from, again, it's like how much of it is them and how much of it has been already there. Like just by how the company was created. But I gotta give them their flowers for NewJeans because that's like really from the ground up with them. And they are not single-handedly because they have LeSseraphim, but nearly single-handedly hoisting up the prominence of this company, in my opinion.
So The Big Four is an unofficial title that we are saying. Would we consider Hybe to be part of the Big Four?
100% for me, and I think that they are number one right now.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
I think it's also could be said there could be an argument to be made where Hybe is even a
Chicken?
like degree of separation above the other three, just based on like all the stuff they're doing, the success they have universally across all of their ventures. Like they're taking it to the next level, I think, of what the big three had done previously.
Yeah, I didn't mention this in my overview, but this year, or maybe it was end of last year, they acquired a Latin America subsidiary. So I wonder what's going to happen over there. Are they just going to translate the Korean songs into Spanish? Or are they going to do like a Spanish group over there?
Agreed. We'll just have to see what happens with Hype, but I feel very, I think the it's very bright over there right now.
Yeah.
So,
I hope that
final thoughts.
Hybe's, yeah, I hope that Hybe's like dominance doesn't like overtake all of K-pop. Like I still hope that eventually there will be some balance within K-pop, like SM artists and JYP and YG artists are still big, and we're still seeing that now, but like I just hope that HYBE doesn't like become a monopoly in K-pop. And I don't know what the rules are in Korea for monopolies, like if the government intervenes with that type of stuff, but
I'm pretty
I
sure they
would still
don't.
I want there to be some diversification.
Yeah. I mean, we avoided that big fiasco a year ago. So, yes, we need diversity even amidst successful companies doing successful things.
Yes.
So just getting too political, we need regulation. I don't know, whatever. Let's just pause there. I don't know. And I'm gonna go into American history, like discussion of we need government regulation or not. Anyways, Hybe, good work. Let's also say one thing. Let's have no CEO corruption. How about that? Seems like Bang PD has been pretty good at that.
Is he CEO still, or is he just like a
Oh
creative
yeah, what is he? I
director?
don't know. I think he's.
Yeah, he's not CEO of HYBE. He's just like main music producer over at Big Hit Music.
Okay. Well, we still
He's
know
doing music things.
he's holding a lot of strings there. Pulling a lot of strings over there. So we'll just have to keep our eye out.
Yes.
Anyways, okay. Thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in. We are on Instagram at Adult Talk Pod. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on all of our major podcast directories and streaming platforms. If you have any feedback or content requests, please email us at idletalkpod@gmail.com. And we also have our content directory, idletalkpod.uwu.ai, where you'll see previous episodes categorized, including playlists, song recommendations, concert and K-drama reviews, and information about us. And it could be found in the description of our episodes here. Until next time, we will be back with a K-Pops episode because things have been up and going in the year 2024, and we're ready to talk about it. So we'll be back next week. So we'll talk to you later. Goodbye.
Bye.